Hi, welcome back to Silverlight TV. My name is John Papa, Silverlight Evangelist here at Microsoft, and today I've got Joe Philcox from the Silverlight team. Hey. Glad to have you here.
Great to be here.
So can you tell us about what you've worked on most recently?
Yep. So I've been on the Silverlight team, working on the Silverlight toolkit, working on performance for Windows Phone, a lot of different things there. But the big thing I've been focusing on is getting the applications ready for the Windows Phone.
So you've got a pretty popular blog, too, where you don't really just cover the toolkit and the phone, but you cover quite a few areas with Silverlight.
Definitely. You know, if it's interesting, I'm happy to post about it. And I've learned a lot of things, you know, the last couple months. We've been working with all the application developers, and now that the tools are out, I wanted to share a little bit of that with the audience.
So I think that's great, because one of the features that is really important on the phone is performance. It's not a feature so much, but it's an issue you got to deal with. You've got a small device. It's not a four-core processor.
Yep.
So you've got to get into making sure your application performs properly. I know Jaime and Yohai had a great episode on Inside Windows Phone talking about performance tips. But one of the things that's really core to that is using the progress bar effectively.
Yep.
You've got to show that progress bar when you're doing something. Otherwise, the users are, what do we have, attention spans of 2 or 3 seconds?
Yeah.
At most.
It really compounds the problem because, you know, if you have a bad performance problem, you might not see it that big. But
right. When
you're looking at downloading information and parsing data, you know, the progress bar is just going to make your problem worse.
So some simple things to do, obviously. Let's say we're going to show an app, or we're doing a Twitter app, of course. So we'll show an application that does Twitter and it grabs some data. You want to make your data smaller. So doing things like using JSON instead of XML, if you can, can reduce your payload. In my case, in this app, it did it by like 66% of the total data. You can do that. You can also make sure you're firing off your queries to just get the fields and applications that you need. Doing things in series, throwing up progress bars. There's a lot of little tips that we can do.
Yep.
But using the progress bar itself, if you use the one out of the box, sometimes, if you don't use it properly, can actually cause a performance issue.
Yep, we identified some issues with the way that we were handling the animation, because mm-hmm. it has this rich little animation. You see the progress bar go across the screen. And so we've actually found a way to make it a little faster. The trouble is we weren't able to get it in the tools in time.
Right.
So we're hoping that people find this alternative one when they see issues.
So the good news is everybody's using the progress bar. That's why we discovered this.
Yep.
And it doesn't show up in the emulator, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but the emulator, I mean, you've got a notebook here. It's, you know, probably a couple cores, and it's powerful. So
it's a little bit faster. This is faster than this is.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's true, yep.
Someday, maybe the other way around, but right now this is faster. So in the emulator, there's no issues. You deploy to the phone, you might see an issue if you don't use it properly. Not every case, but depends how you use it. So you're going to show us how to get around that, and you've got some code, and you've made it dirt simple,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Yep, this is up there. I've already blogged it, so we'll probably share the location out with this post.
Great,
but,
yeah.
You know, let's see if we can put it in your application.
And let's start off by talking about what are these different steps that you have to go through here, and I'll let you walk through them.
Okay, so the things to take into account here is really easy. You just need to add things to XAML to make sure that you have the right template, mm-hmm. and then you need to add the code file, and then every time you use it, you want to at least set it up.
So basically, you just styled the progress bar.
Yep.
You're adding a style to the progress bar when you use it. And all you have to do is set these different things up. And the name of your control, your style, is...
We're calling it Performance Progress Bar. Make it super clear this is the one you want to use.
Right.
And you always want to see that whenever you use Progress Bar. So
here's the XAML. Oop, that's not the XAML. I think I'd be able to identify that by now. So here's the XAML file.
Yep, and so this is exactly what you just got off of that blog post. And it's really similar to the one that's built into the phone. It's just slightly optimized to use this special control.
Okay.
And this takes everything off of the user interface thread and moves it to the compositor thread, where it's really quick. It'll keep going even if you're doing a lot of data work.
And really what you're doing is templating the control with this other class that you've included.
Yeah, it has this really long Microsoft name, Relative Animating Content Control.
Yes.
You know, we got really long names for everything. that just means, you know, do this work in a slightly different way.
And again, just to show everybody quickly here, that's basically what we did is we're in the app XAML. We added the template for the performance progress bar. There's a namespace at top, and all this is referring to this file.
Yep, you just drop it
classes.
Right in.
So at the top of your XAML file, you should have, this one?
Yep.
Yep. So this is the namespace you have to add as well, otherwise I won't know what this unsupported tag is that you're using.
And we just called it unsupported to make it clear this isn't part of the tools.
So it's supported, right?
Yeah. you're happy to post on my blog and I'll answer your questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's there. That's all you have to do to use it in your entire project and so people can see I've actually got this file.
Yep, anything in your app XAML, you can get to it from any of your files. Yep.
And then inside the actual page, and here we've got my Windows Phone application, I've got a progress bar on the bottom of my page, which is a regular progress bar. Let me just make this bigger. So we've got a regular progress bar here, and we've just styled it to use your particular style.
Yep, see the style there? Excellent. So you always want to make sure that you have the static resource there. Because even if you add these files to your project, if you don't set that style, you won't actually get the benefit.
Right.
And it's hard to know because it'll actually look exactly identical.
So here's your normal progress bar.
Yep.
You're basically telling everybody they have to add this one extra line of code.
Yep, that's the line.
And so however many progress bars you use, you have to add this n number of times, but the AppXAML stuff obviously is one time shot.
Yep.
And you can stick that in a resource dictionary too.
Yep. And there's also an example on the blog post that if you do it in code, you know, if you just new up a progress bar in code, you need to still set the style.
So why is it important too for this is indeterminate to bind this or to set this?
Well, so when isIndeterminate is set to true, it says let's play this continuous animation, and that's the little dots that move across the screen. And the trouble here is that even if for some reason like the progress bar is off the screen or it's currently collapsed, it's still running all these little storyboard animations.
Right.
And so, you know, every single frame there's, you know, computation that's happening, and it's just it can really compound even more performance issues.
So even if the visibility is collapsed,
yep.
is indeterminate, if I can say that right, is that too true?
Yep.
It's still gonna chew up your CPU.
Yeah. And that's we can't really make an optimization for the visibility because you really don't know. Maybe they're changing other things in the storyboards.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, unfortunately you just need to make sure both collapse the visibility and set indeterminate to false.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do, and you'll see here what I've done is I've actually I did data binding, and I took this isBusy flag, which is my view model, and then I'm using that for both the visibility and isIndeterminate. I've seen people use two different properties.
There's no reason. Using the converter.
Yeah. So then you just use a regular converter, and the bool to visibility converter is pretty simple. I put a static resource over here inside the application resources, and if people haven't seen a bool to visibility converter, I'll post one up there. Very simple, and you can pass an inverse in there to flip it if you need to. As far as creating this progress bar goes, what are the things that your style does specifically to the progress bar that make it faster?
Well, so we've talked a little bit in the past in some of the other performance talks about these threads.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the user interface thread and the compositor thread. And this is different than Silverlight. In Silverlight, there's just the UI thread, just one. The trouble is that most animations that are complex, they can actually happen on the UI thread. If you're changing like dependency property values or, you know, just any of those things that happen, if it's not a primitive like opacity or translation, it moves it back to UI thread. And so when they built this first one, you look at the progress bar template in the phone and there's five sliders. And that sounds nice. It looks cool. It's a nice way to do this nice continual animation.
That's the five dots, right?
Yeah, the trouble is that slider, when you animate its properties, those are actual like dependency properties, so it goes back to code, has to do some computation to do that relative animation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a silly technical explanation in my blog. I don't need to go into that.
Right.
But you know, the important thing is that when you use this, it actually uses a control that offloads all that from the UI thread to the compositor thread. So then the UI thread can do a layout pass, it can do, you know, computation, whatever you need to do.
So just a quick overview, the UI thread and the compositor thread, what are the differences between the two?
Yep, UI thread does all the core application logic.
Right.
So layout pass, changing dependency properties. If you're using code that's not on the background thread, that's where it happens, UI thread.
Right.
And so that's really important that if it's available and it's free for computation, it'll get events from touch. You know, everything's really going to happen there.
Right.
And so it's important that this compositor thread was specifically made to have a smooth animation. And that's really just these primitives, the graphics basics.
And one blocks the other, right?
Yep. So. Well, it can. So the busier that the UI thread gets, the more it's going to bog down the entire system because there's only one core on that phone.
Right.
Now you can talk about threads all you want, but it's all still having to be scheduled by the OS.
Right. Yeah, so prioritized. Yeah, and that's the important part of getting into this is there's no longer just the UI and your background thread. We've got this whole other engine. And the reason there's multiple threads is because we have a small core and we've got processing we have to offload and prioritize.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So. And this is really why animations do look so nice on the phone, though, if they're done the right way. Because you see that, yes, there's computation happening, but the animations are just smooth. They slide right in. They glide across the screen. And that's because of the compositor thread.
Yeah, and it looks really good that way. And again, setting this stuff up, just to oversimplify, we've got a basic simple property, which we're binding to go through here. Now, when you set these properties back in your code that are actually going to be raising the property change event through the INPC interface, and they are notifying the progress bar through the page, through data binding, to set these different visual indicators.
Right, and this needs to happen on the UI thread.
So that has to, so if you're setting the isBusy property, I guess at the point you have to go over to that UI thread to actually set that.
Yep.
Otherwise you'll get that invalid cross thread. So it's pretty obvious when it happens.
Yeah. It's amazing all the little secrets you have to build these apps.
Yeah, you can't just set as busy to true.
Yeah.
You have to say set as busy to true inside of the dispatcher and yep. or something along those lines. But it's not too hard to do. It's pretty easy. And let's actually run the application so we can show people how this shows up. So here we've got the emulator running here. And we're deploying the application over. This is actually a Twitter application I wrote for the book that Jaime and Yohai and I are writing for Windows Phone 7. So here's the basic app. It's loading up, hitting Twitter, and you can see the progress bar going across the screen.
Yep.
And then it loads the application. Hopefully nothing bad showing up here. So as we can see there, every time I hit the refresh, you're going to see the progress bar pop up quickly, and then the things will actually refresh.
Yep.
Now, if we take a look at that in the actual phone, the speed should be similar for the progress bar, not yep. for downloading from Twitter, whatnot, because this is a much faster yep. laptop. So let's go ahead and try that.
Okay.
So let's go into the application. Here we've got a slight startup screen, which I put a splash in for 2 seconds. I actually used a timer to keep it up there. And you can see the progress bar is flying across the screen. I'm going out to hit Twitter, and Twitter is loading the data down. And when it's done, all the data shows up. And we can slide across, and we can see if I refresh, the progress bar flops up again, and there's no speed issues or performance issues with the progress bar itself. Just to recap, Jeff, with everything, using this, and we'll pull up the slides. So basically, if you want to use the performance progress bar, set the AppXAML, add your namespace, add the I keep calling it a class. It's actually a series of classes inside the file
yep.
for your relative animating control, content control. I can't even say it. It's way too long. And then to actually use it, add your progress bar, which you theoretically already have, add the style, and then make sure you're binding and set or setting the isDeterminer or visibility. And you've got code examples up on your site, too.
Yep.
So,
yeah. So you do these three things, and you're all set. You should have a great app.
Now, what if you want to style the progress bar visually to look slightly different? Is that something that's easy to do with this?
Yeah. Yep. Well? So otherwise, it's exactly identical to the progress bar. So if you set foreground to magenta, you'll mm-hmm. get a magenta progress bar.
Okay.
So that's the easy way. And you can also just take this template that's in your AppXAML, and you can change it however you want.
Right, because we've got the source code. But if you wanted to put like pigs flying across the screen as your progress bar, you'd have to modify your style.
Yep, you can go into that style that we added to AppXAML, and you could change the rectangles into pigs.
Yep.
If you like.
You could do that, little pigs. On that note, I think we'll wrap up the episode. Thanks for coming on and talking about performance issues and progress bar. And
yeah, definitely. Great to be here.
Soon. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks.
And thank you all for watching Silverlight TV. Okay.